Hey guys, welcome back to Highly Inspired. I'm Ella.
I'm Jordan.
Welcome back, guys, this week on the new episode. I don't know if you can tell, but we have some new mics and a new intro.
We have revamped our audio setup.
Yeah, we're going process by process. First, it was the marketing. Now it's the audio.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of podcasts have different setups. There's a whole world of equipment out there, but we hope that this kind of gives it a little bit more of like a radio laid back feel and gets rid of the reverb and stuff, so no distractions.
Yeah, I feel like I'm listening to myself on Joe Rogan or something. Like, yeah. It feels so like radio, podcasty, professional.
Me too. I'm actually used to watching certain shows on YouTube where you can actually see them with the visuals, and a lot obviously use headphones. So we have headphones on right now and I can hear my voice and it's definitely different.
Yeah.
But I think it's enhancing my engagement with it.
We made the decision to buy, like, we'll wrap this up about the mics, but we made the decision to buy these new mics a while back ago, and Jordan and I were sold on these mics that were advertised to us as podcasting mics, the best ones in the business. We get them. They're not podcasting mics. Like, no. I don't know what these things are.
It's false marketing. That company that did that knows that podcasting is, like, pretty much the highest or fastest growing, like, media consumption right now,
yeah,
especially because of the pandemic. And so they lied to us, but we figured it out and we did our research on our own. So we're in a much better place now.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been grieving the old earth a lot, and it kind of took us a while. There were so many moments when we caught ourselves saying, you know, when we get back to normal, we'll do this or that. And guys, it is the middle of July. March was 5 months ago, and I'm now like letting that just all sink in because I think that's super important to really digest. And now when we say, you know, accept the new normal, we, Jordan and I, do not mean that in the same way that every broadcaster, every politician has been shoving that phrase down all of our throats. When we say it, it means something completely different, because I think when these politicians say it, they mean it as a cover up. What they want is they want us to stay home, to keep watching, binge watching Netflix, to just retweet our daily social justice warrior post to earn some virtual signaling points and just forget about our problems and blame all your problems on COVID and accept that there's no way out. And by doing this, like, these people, they're keeping the control. But no, the mindset you've been fed over COVID and we've been fed is very, like, unhealthy, that we're kind of realizing that. And honestly, it's a flat-out lie. And you do have control. We have control. Everyone has control of the situation. The statement, once COVID is over, I'll do this project or apply to this job, is really now invalid. It's been too long. Mm-hmm. And it's time to accept that this new world, it's time to accept this new world head on and create a thoughtful, adaptable, clear pathway forward towards the future. And I'm sorry if this is coming off as harsh to anyone, but the world is different. It has changed. And this is no different than any other world disaster that we've had. The Great Depression, people moved to new cities for new opportunities. After World War II, women permanently were welcome into the workforce. After 9/11, there was increased security measures that made all of us more safe. So I really think that we need to accept this new mindset that change is not bad. Disasters, if approached the right way, can incite change for a better tomorrow. And let's own that. I mean, it's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love everything that you said. Yeah. So basically, a couple weeks ago, we posted an episode kind of saying goodbye to Highly Inspired 1.0 before we kind of revamped our vision for the entire show. So just as we kind of gave testament to putting that in the past, it's the same interpretation on the world right now. There is now pre-pandemic time and post-pandemic. And I feel like that distinction is really important to get to know. And hopefully that'll help change your attitude towards it. Because I keep seeing all these tweets and things on social media, even in articles, of when will we get back to normal? Oh, I just want things to be back to normal. Honestly, it's kind of got to stop, or you really need to just check yourself and be like, oh, I shouldn't write that. Because the more that you write that, it's just kind of like putting it more into your brain and becoming more part of your vocabulary. So the more you can push it out and just understand, okay, this is just what it is right now, this is the reality that we're facing, then yeah, we're kind of we're not giving it power anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I had a bad stage in the beginning where, as I'm sure a lot of other people did, where those first couple weeks, not really knowing what was going on, not being able to plan, all of our plans got uprooted, not really knowing what to do with our time. If people were in school, it was like, oh my gosh, this just got flipped upside down. We were all so confused and it seemed fun. Oh, we get to go home and watch Netflix and hang out and read books and eat and whatever. That seemed fun in the beginning. And then as time kind of escalated, we were like, okay.
It's not humans aren't meant to be on vacation forever.
No. And plus, when you have that much like content consumption and kind of late lackadaisical routine, the amount of dopamine that gets depleted in your brain makes you think that that's like enjoyable when it becomes not, mm-hmm. if that makes
that's
sense.
That's really interesting.
So we actually do need a balance of, oh, I worked today. Like I did this today. This is productive. And then if you do something fun with your, or like enjoyable, yeah. then it's even more rewarding and even more fulfilling and enjoyable because you've like earned it, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I get guilt. I get guilt. I have like guilt problems if I have too many like vacation days in a row. Some people are like this where like they start to like feel freaked out and evaluate themselves
like
and judge themselves. And if you have, you know, we're now looking at almost 5 months of this, or I don't know, four months?
See,
I don't even know. Like at the beginning, like what you were saying, I was like, oh my gosh, I saw this tweet the other day that was like, remember the Tiger King pandemic or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, that was at the beginning, this like, that just signified like how fun it was for everyone. We all bonded over the same things. And now a lot of stuff has gone down since then. And we can't just keep blaming everything on the pandemic because, like it or not, this is our reality now. And
yeah. I think in the beginning, seeing funny tweets trying to make light of a situation by being like complaining or trying to make a joke out of it.
Yeah.
That makes sense because it's still being presented to make other people laugh or to be happy. But it's continued after so many months. And honestly, when I look at that and read those things now, it just comes off to me as, oh my gosh, like, can we not be so negative, please?
Yeah.
Because we can't just go this entire year and like give up.
Yeah, like, I totally agree.
As much as we've had a year and a half in just 6 months worth of events and emotional stress and changes,
it's still felt, 6 months.
It's 6 months. Yeah. So we are only halfway through this year. And if we're going to have a chance to help rebuild our economy, rebuild our emotional well-being and hope and incentive for going out and doing productive things with ourselves, we kind of have to completely change that attitude and stop giving the pandemic power. Like,
yeah. And honestly, some of this change is really exciting to me once I kind of, you know, got into this mindset. And kind of the question that I've been asking myself, Jordan has been asking herself, and that we want to like bring to the table and try to get through an answer during this is, what adjustments can be made to your thinking about the future once you take into consideration all the realities of the constraints that are there? But there's also opportunities that COVID has provided.
Oh my gosh. Like no one is talking about that.
Yeah, there's so many.
It's all like, oh, what is COVID taken away?
Yeah, yes. But what has it given you?
What has it provided us?
Yeah.
And just how 9/11 created a whole different time for businesses to take advantage of the new security stuff that was going on. Same with COVID. The next wave of businesses are going to be completely geared towards making our lives right now, given the pandemic, more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And whether
safer.
That be working from home, whether that be productivity apps or websites, it's probably going to be heavy technology. I hate to say it, but like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not seeing a lot of that hope for these better things that are going to be actually good for
us. Yeah, and taking the opportunity of the situation at hand. I think two institutions that we're really seeing break down right now, but as they're breaking down, I'm kind of excited because I'm like, oh, look, there's so much opportunity where these institutions were like forcing us to all be going down the same path for so long. And the first one is college, higher education, the college degree, having that be a necessity. Necessity. And then corporate America. Like, those are the two things that popped in my head.
Those are the two things that from such a young age, if you were in college or if you got a corporate job with like a big CEO wearing a suit and tie, that was like, you made it. You're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Like the most amount of respect from an adult that you could get, who's someone who's older than you, is that if you could fulfill those two categories, like you've made it. Completely different now.
Yeah, these are, for the first time in history, these are the institutions that are failing us the most unreliable right now, are no longer a safety net. I mean, if you even think about if you think about commercial real estate, for example, office space. This is the first time that office brokers, owners of office space, they're freaking out right now. They don't know what they're going to do. That whole realm of things is collapsing. And that is such a rich, safe industry for so long. I mean, that blows my mind. And all these offices had just embraced this, like, a lot of them had redone, like, everyone having their own desk and having like a lot of communal space and not a lot of walls. Yeah. And now that is like anti-COVID. COVID's about walls and protecting yourself and shields, and everyone has a seat, and it's crazy. And yeah, all these workspaces are just, you can't even use them. They're useless.
No, dude, talk about funerals. Can we give a funeral to WeWork?
Yes.
I used to want to work for WeWork. Before the pandemic, I thought that their business model was genius. Like, that's so cool because they worked with development, but they also had so much like versatility with working with businesses of all backgrounds. So yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do. They're probably going to have to just accept the new reality or try to turn it into something else.
But they weren't doing well before this. So because they had a lot of issues with, I think their CEO was all over the news for some negative stuff. But what I heard is that they actually, it could go either way. That's a horrible business model, but also a lot of people, if they get tired of working from home, their spouse is annoying, they want a divorce, they want to leave, their kids are driving them crazy, they might, if they can't go into their office, they might do a WeWork. If they're allowed to even be open, but I don't know if they're allowed to be open in some states.
No, I mean, WeWork is so established that I think that they will be able to figure it out and
we'll see.
Have it be more geared towards working from home, because that is the new reality now. And a lot of the benefits actually relate to that, kind of fall under the whole productivity at home. The next wave of innovation and products that are going to be released, inventions, whatever, are going to be towards making your life at home better, more efficient, more productive,
etc. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, I mean, going back to what we said earlier about first the college degree and that institution kind of falling apart. I mean, we just did an episode about this recently. If you guys want to hear more about that, like, check it out. But this is the first time in any recession where we are not seeing people spend their time at higher education because they don't see the value of an online degree at the same price. So usually in every recession, colleges actually do really well in recessions because their enrollment goes up, because people are like, well, if I can't get hired, I might as well like get my MBA now. I might as well go finish my bachelor degree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I might as well invest in my future. And now people are realizing, okay, is college worth it? Oh, colleges aren't lowering their tuition. I can't even benefit.
I'm online.
Like, this doesn't feel right. I'm not going to spend my time doing this. You know what? I'll go take a LinkedIn learning class instead. I'll go learn how to code. There are so many skill sets out there that are honestly, we just had a meeting with a web developer to do a website for us. And I mean, all of his skill sets are so incredible, and school didn't teach him that. Like, he
dude,
took
that's
that
like
all
with you and I. You and I. I'm not even kidding, and I've probably said this in other episodes. A majority of the stuff that I am the most proficient in, I have taught myself. And you know what? I've thought this for a while, whether it be in high school or whether it be like a GE course in college for everyone to take, there should be a class on utilizing the technology resources that we have. Because some people are really good at knowing how to navigate, like, oh, if I want to learn this, I can use this. Mm-hmm. Or if I want to teach myself this, I can use this, whether it be YouTube or some other online course or whatever. Also, not going to lie, when I was online, at least this past semester, a lot of the quizzes and tests that we all took, like, everyone cheated. And you know what? The education system needs to catch up with that. Because if you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, we talked about this more in the last episode, but yeah, I totally agree. And like, I think they should even like set us up like, okay, you want to go into the marketing world? Oh, you actually should probably know all the Adobe programs. Like, I think that they don't tell us like what programs and hard skills we need along with our degree. It's kind of on you to figure it out. And like, you could go through all of college and have a finance degree, which is supposed to be super valuable. And it's not even that valuable because you don't know how to work Excel fluently. Same thing with marketing and graphic design. Like, some degrees are, and I'm not to say like I'm so grateful for my college experience, and I think that the networking it provides is still, there's a huge value in that, mm-hmm, which is totally why I chose Chapman. I think Chapman's so unique with the students, and I am so grateful for my friends and the way everyone thinks and how the university presents things. But if you take away that aspect to it, which is the last thing that college was giving us, was a social life, was interacting with people, having a place to go in person. If you take that away, there's no value in it. There is literally that. There's no difference between looking up how to do stuff online. It's better for your time. Online school is a waste. It's honestly a waste.
No, completely. And honestly, I don't know the exact number of how many kids would really only pick college just because they want to have a social life, just because they want to be in Greek life or something like that. But
Greek life's not happening anytime soon.
I know. My younger brother is starting at, where he's supposed to be a freshman this upcoming semester. And he's been talking about Greek life. And I just feel so bad for him because I'm like, sorry, buddy. Like, I don't know how that's going to work out.
And this was something we were going to talk about later, but we might as well just bring it up right now. Jordan, we are the last generation of kids pre-COVID that knew the world before COVID, that had a college experience before COVID. There's going to be my sister, your brother. When will they go to a crowded bar? When will they go to Coachella? I don't see a music festival happening anytime soon.
Talk about festivals. What about concerts? I don't even know when that's going to be.
Or sporting. Have you seen these schools? They're cutting all the sports programs. Even Harvard, well-funded schools with high endowments, they can't keep these sports programs anymore.
Harvard has like an $84 billion endowment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. And that's a whole like reason why people get to go to school. Or
I think Greek life was dying for a while, and this definitely makes it harder.
This accelerates
to recruit.
Yeah.
I mean, the party, honestly, if we could get more into like the nightlife and party aspect of social life and whatever, but there's just a lot that I don't even know that I actually don't even have predictions on.
Yeah.
So we can maybe save that for another episode.
Yeah, no, that's a whole nother round.
Yeah,
of
in
things.
Terms of the college degree though, I completely agree with what you're saying that without those things that formulate the traditional American college experience and you're just learning online mediocrely, there's just no value in it.
Yeah.
And the amount that people pay for these massive private school tuitions or whatever, mm-hmm, that it just adds on. It does not make sense.
No. And I think your point, people realizing that, them choosing not to go to college or postpone it, enrollment rates are dropping. And a lot of colleges were supposed to go out of business in the next coming years because in 08 and 09, no one had kids. So there's a huge drop in the population if you look at it on a graph. So if you combine this drop of enrollment plus that drop that's coming from that age group that would have been born in 08 and 09, mm-hmm, that combined, you're going to see so many colleges disappear off the face of the earth.
Dude, maybe this is the end of college as a whole.
That's what I think.
If you actually look at education back in the 16, 1700s when it was first becoming like a societal construct for every young kid to be educated in some way, shape, or form, the reasons why were because they were being bred into specialized jobs, whether they were becoming a blacksmith or in the printing press. Yes, exactly. So that was extremely specialized, even more specialized than the 1900s. And then as we have evolved, we've become so much more connected to all these other industries, finding out that we have the ability and capability to have a bunch of different skill sets, mm-hmm, that the education system hasn't caught up with it. Mm-hmm. And I think people are finally realizing, okay, do I even want to put up with that now that I can't even benefit from
any other aspect? Yeah, do I want to limit myself to just a major and a minor? Like, what if I'm capable of more? What if I can move through that stuff faster? Like, I think that some people could have done college in 3 years.
Or why not put a class in high school that teaches kids how to truly utilize and benefit the most from their technological resources so that they can teach themselves?
Yeah.
Or have a class that helps people teach themselves.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten so used to, oh, if I just enroll in a class, then I'll learn without having to like consciously learn.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, there's this stigma around, mm-hmm, oh my God, it's so hard to teach yourself something. And when I say teach yourself, obviously you watching a YouTube video or something like that, it is someone else relaying that information or some sort of graphic video or a program that you're following, but you still are doing it. You're going off and doing it on your own. And it honestly can be just as effective as taking a full-time course for a couple months if you do it right and if you really focus.
Yeah. And I think, I think we gave a really good in-depth reasoning about why we think college is one of those institutions that's going to fall apart. We talked about corporate America. Also, just business in general, not that it's falling apart, but it's changing. And guys, I'm actually really excited about this right now.
I think this is what I'm most excited
about. Right now, this is like the perfect time to start your own business. And I feel like this isn't getting talked about enough. In 2009, so many great companies came out of it. Airbnb, WeWork,
Uber.
Lyft, Uber, Slack, all these companies, because people, when they lose their jobs, usually it goes into productivity, or it's like, oh, you know what? I'm finally going to work on that passion project that I've been telling myself I'm going to do, you know? Yeah. And I just am sad that I'm not hearing enough of my classmates or friends like thinking like that, or at least even in small ways and kind of.
I think a reason why is because the media has just continued to spread this narrative of, oh my gosh, things are so bad right now. You can't do anything but stay at home. Things are so bad right now that the economy is crashing or whatever.
But there's so much you can do really at home.
Really put your research, actually like research. Okay, the economy isn't great right now, but that doesn't mean it can't change. Like the economy fluctuates. It doesn't mean you just give up, you know? Mm-hmm. If we all adapt this better, more positive, more incentivizing mindset, like it's up to us.
Yeah, when things crash and burn, there's always a silver lining. There's always opportunities. And I think one of them, like, I mean, there are these new target audiences and demographics that are emerging out of COVID. To bring it back to kind of a meme way, like when you see like the Karens of the world, I mean, that's a very small demographic, but there are these demographics that are based off of like COVID responses. There's people who are super high risk adverse. They don't want risky lives. They want to stay in their homes as much as possible. You know, these are the elderly people. These are people who are just
irrational. The Howie Mandels.
Yeah, yeah.
The germaphobes.
Germaphobes, even OCD. Younger people. I knew this couple that has a 1-year-old and they're only in their 30s and they haven't left their house the whole quarantine. But like, you know what?
Okay, I would actually get like Stockholm
syndrome. Yeah, but everyone has a different level of safety. And I was listening to this restaurateur on Dave Rubin, and his name's John Teffer, and I guess he also has a reality TV show where he like goes into bars and like gives them tips. But he basically says that there's going to be these three markets that emerge: high risk, mid risk, and low risk. So you're going to have people in the low risk category that like don't want to wear masks. They're fine going to a bar. They're fine not social distancing as much. Then you have the people in the mid risk that are like, you know what, like, I'll wear my mask, but I'm still fine going to a restaurant. Like, I'll still sit inside. I don't necessarily need to be outside. And then you have people who are really like risk adverse, and they're like, I don't, like, I need everything to be sterilized. I need everything to be spaced out. And these businesses,
just paranoid 24/7.
And businesses need time to think through which of these thirds they want to cater to. Because if you look at the polls, we're seeing the data that it really is divided into 33. And we're not letting businesses like have time to figure out which group they want to cater to, because it's like, oh, you can open. Oh, no, you can't open. Oh, you can open back at 50%. Oh, no, you can only open outside. Like, give people a clear roadmap so they can figure out what risks they want to allow into their business and what type of people they want to have, you know?
Yeah. And normally most businesses function off of listening to their consumers, listening to people that will be potential customers, whether that be restaurants or grocery stores or whatever. Honestly, the entire business vision of America is put the consumer first. Like, that's like in every industry. And now it's not even like that.
No, it's like, if
there's no segmentation anymore. It's just, we've all fallen under this broad general category of that we all feel the same way about the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you posed it to restaurants like, do you want to wear masks or not? The ones who aren't wearing masks, they'll get called out. like there'll be people who call them out, and then they can make that decision like, oh, like, do we want to really like turn away this business of people who want us to wear masks and clean things and like keep things sterilized? Oh no, we want to make sure that we're catered to these people's needs. Then they'll adjust. But having all these like things shifting every which way is so confusing. And if you think that businesses are going to be able to withstand that, you are so wrong, because rent is so expensive. There are fixed costs in businesses that people do not realize. Like, it's not like, oh, when you close, your costs go away because, you know, you don't have food every day at the restaurant. It's like, no, there's set stuff that you have to pay no matter what, if you have a customer or not. Mm-hmm. So that's just frustrating to me. But I think it'll be cool once businesses can decide who they want to cater to and, you know, make sure that
just as we've all been thrown in a loop trying to figure out ourselves and our roles in the pandemic, I think businesses are too, even though it's on a much grander scale.
Yeah.
So the internship that I'm doing this summer, I'm working on a project for creating a TV spot commercial concept for MidFirst Bank, which is a popular bank in the South. And basically, from the research that I've done so far, especially with large corporate companies rolling out ads, at least in the past like 4 or 5 months since the pandemic started, every single ad is giving power to the pandemic, saying like, we're in this together. We're going to get through this. Like, we'll fight. And to be honest, I know why they feel like they have to do that, because it's become just such a trend that every business feels like they have to comply. But I feel like it's kind of making people think that this is so much more horrible than it actually is.
Well, also that, and I see that, and I'm like, and it's this is Bank of America, you don't care. And then, or I see one of a car, like a car company or an insurance company, and I'm like, this actually makes me like your product less, because you think by me buying a car, that's helping me feel better about the pandemic. I'm like, I don't see the connect there.
Or a freaking bank talking about your dog and waking up in your sweatpants going on your Zoom meeting. What does that have to do with the service or product that they're offering to help you and that you're going to give them money for?
No.
It's completely unrelated. And if there is a company that does feel the need that they have to, like, honestly, grocery stores or pharmacies or anything healthcare related, that makes sense. But if an industry has nothing to do with it, I just think that they need to let it go. You don't need to follow along with these other companies that are doing it just because you feel like you have to. Mm-hmm. And we are now finally entering this phase where people have to like start getting used to, okay, this is just how it is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
There's no more feeling bad and holding each other's hands through every single horrible thing. What's horrible? We're staying in our houses. Like, we're just ordering Postmates and working on our freaking laptops. Like, what is so difficult, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think something that to me that took a long time for me to accept was this new style of working, which is remote work. For me, I do like waking up in the morning, having a place to go, having a routine, getting out of my house.
Me too.
And I was really upset about this at first. And now I'm realizing, you know what? I need to get over that. There are so many opportunities this presents. So much more free time because you don't have to commute. Flexibility in your schedule, being able to take breaks when you want, being able to work the hours that you want. And this isn't changing. In May, the CEO of Twitter basically told his employees that they're no longer required to return to the office. Slack said the same thing. Mark
Zuckerberg
basically said like half of his employees will be working remote through 2021. Like, these companies are setting the
tone.
The
entire year of 2021.
Yeah. These companies are setting the tone.
That's bold.
So I've accepted it. You know what? Like, that's cool. And you know what? There's so much mobility that's coming out of this. Entire city demographics are shifting. People are realizing, wow, I could live in a decked out mobile home. I could live smaller. I could move around the country more. I could own multiple. No, I honestly, guys, I was up last night till 2 a.m. looking how I could buy an Airstream trailer, which are those like cool vintage looking ones with the glass, and how I could put like some money into it and buy one and make that my home after college. Like, I don't know. Like, my ideas have gotten so, I would have never thought about that. I would have thought, you know what? I'm going to stay in California. I'm going to get a 9-to-5 job. I'm going to live in an apartment like everyone else.
I'll be in rush hour traffic every day. Yeah. Driving to work, or if you're in New York, 2 hours.
Yeah. Like I accepted this reality, and you know what? Now this isn't our reality anymore. And it's freeing. Like, that's nice. Like, work on the road. Get a good Wi-Fi
router.
Dude,
I know what you're going to be in your trailer. I'm buying a ranch in, I don't know, some random place and going to own a mine, or I'm just going to mine all day. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, but I want to build tiny home villages. I think that our generation of people were already, so last summer I had an internship where I just like toured it was a apartment management company. So I saw a lot of apartments all over California, and I saw that our demographic of Gen Z and then millennials want quality over quantity. And before that, like our Definitely. Parents wanted quantity over quality. So I think we're entering this world where mobility, quality,
efficiency,
eco-friendly efficiency, it's all coming together, and we're gonna be able to mold our ideal lifestyles. And it doesn't have to be excessive. It doesn't have to be spending all this extra money on like the fanciest of whatever. Like you're 20.
No, minimalistic is not only much better for the planet and the environment, but it's also going to become like the new trend. The days of having a bigger house, more square footage, more cars, more, I don't know, designer purses, like that's just not in anymore. And it's wasteful.
And it's greedy. Just doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make you... It doesn't make you more productive. I mean, I guess.
No wonder so many other countries look at us and are like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, that's just so annoying.
For sure. And I think that, like, you know, social media, I'm seeing more people like share their own projects and ideas on social media instead of it being like a bragging platform. And I think that's great. Yeah. And
it still is to an extent, but you just have to follow the right people.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that also like travel is going to be so different because a lot of countries are blocking. I mean, a lot of countries, you can't travel from country to country. New Zealand still has a block on the U.S., Australia, the EU put a block, travel block. Yeah. I mean, because once you contain the virus, I mean, you're kind of like, okay, do we let people back in? Like, what's the deal with that? And so I think, you know, we're seeing U.S. to U.S., like state to state travel. People are exploring more in the U.S. I mean, so many people have been going up to Idaho, Montana. I mean, and that combines with the mobile living, with remote work, and you just have this whole new exploration of getting out of your house, being in nature.
Growing up, people are always like, oh, if you want to travel, you either have to do it while you're in college, like over summers, or after you graduate before you start working, or on your 2 weeks paid vacation, like once a year. That we've had these structures of like time breaks because corporate culture and being able to actually monitor
the work.
They defined, okay, these are when you can do this and that. And I'm sorry, the 9 to 5 times or the 8 to 4 times, that's just not going to be a thing. And honestly, I'm happy about it because not everyone works great for that many hours in a row. Or some people are night people. Some people are morning people. It has nothing to do with why the company just has to be open at that certain point in time. Yeah. And so I feel like with remote work, people being able to like structure their hours towards what fits best for them or when they work, I don't know, at their highest
rate. No, I read this book and it was basically, are you a morning, afternoon or evening or night owl? And like you take this test and you basically figure out when your brain is most productive in the day. And it's this whole book and it kind of like goes into all of that. And some people can shift, but most people like are born a certain way and that doesn't change. Like they're always going to be night people. They're always going to be.
I'm a night person.
Yeah. Like I do
better work at night. If I were to be forced to do something for 4 hours in the morning and not do it as well, like would my supervisor want that?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
No,
like, do they want you to be better at what you do or just because it's easier for them to track your hours or something?
And I mean, this takes away so many like fixed costs of a company. I'm a part of, my friends have a clothing company, Nice as Heck, and they're buying a bus right now. And it's such a great idea because getting into a store, it can be really expensive. You lose a lot of money on the wholesale price, the overhead. If you want to rent a space to have your own store, and if you can take ownership of having a store that's like a bus that you can just move everywhere, it's the same idea. Portable business, portable place. I mean, it's just stuff like this. Like people need to think outside the box. Like this type of stuff is so sick.
It's allowing for travel. All of this is allowing for travel, whether it be you're doing business while you're traveling or you're working while you're traveling. There's no more, oh, I can only do it when I'm off of work so that I don't have to be in the office.
You know what this reminds me of?
And that's so exciting.
This reminds me of like the new frontier, like the new frontier. Like, do you remember in the 1800s in American history, like Little House on the Prairie, Lewis and Clark, Sacagawea, like these people pioneered the West for us. And they didn't live in one place. They didn't stay in one state their whole life, one small town. No, they explored. They took risks. They saw the country. Like, let's do it. And we have Wi-Fi. We have our phones. We have technology. We can do it.
And then like, soon we're going to have 5G everywhere.
That's true. Like, that's a whole nother thing.
The radiation running through us. I'm watching Outlander on Netflix, and it is that. It's set in the late 1700s. And what it shows is people geographically switching areas. And what they do is they take their skills from what they know, whether it be chopping down trees, finding like weeds to make herbs, to make medicines. Like, they do it all on their own, but they know in different areas what that land is like able to provide. So think of it in a modern sense of, okay, this place has this business, this place has this resource. How do we utilize the technology we have and continue to work and make money and be productive, but also be able to go to all these different places? And honestly, the travel thing is huge, and that's what this is going to allow.
And I think the travel and migration of people, kind of what you brought up, like the fact that before this, people had times penciled in on when you were supposed to travel. Europe, study abroad, you know, move to a big city after college, those types of things set up. And I remember last summer I was like talking to my dad and I was like, I'm not going to do New York this summer. I'm going to do it next summer. And my dad's like, well, what if New York isn't there next summer? Like, are you okay with that? I'm like, Dad, New York's going to be there next summer.
Dad,
like,
please.
Like, please. Like, I'll make it happen. Like, whatever. Okay. Fast forward a year. New York isn't happening. I am here in Phoenix, Arizona. My internship in New York got canceled. And New York right now is a mess. That city, like, I hate to say it, but so many people are flocking out of that city, flocking out of Silicon Valley. These cities that were hubs of creation and productivity, that is totally shifting because they're getting more dangerous with all the social unrest. People don't want to live in that high of density areas where COVID could spread faster. Having the same apartment building with an elevator that you're all pressing the same buttons.
Yeah.
Shootings. New York's had the most shootings that they've had since the 70s. There was one-year-old who just got shot in a park in his stroller.
Oh my, you just told me this and I actually can't even get it out of my head. I'm going to have nightmares about that tonight.
Yeah.
I have watched some of the goriest movies. I've read so many books. I have never heard of a child that young, a baby getting shot with a gun.
It's horrible.
That's insane.
And I don't even know. I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know why this is happening. And I think it's going to be interesting because, I mean,
can I talk about something more like psych-based in relation to that? So I watched an interview of a zoologist in Australia who has done a lot of studies on animals in captivity and especially in certain casings of a lot of animals in like a small area.
Yeah.
They do worse things. Like, they're more violent. They tend to masturbate more. There are all these like physical things that they end
Blackfish.
Up doing. No, it's. They act out in negative ways to their health and the other animals' health when they're in more dense areas. And honestly, I'm not trying to like push anyone's boundaries, but in these massive cities where you see these horrible things, honestly, I think it's a result of that. I mean, we are animals in a sense where in these large compact areas where there's just a ton of people, a ton of like chaos all the time, it kind of lets people do, I don't know. It's subconsciously.
Yeah. I think that yes, but also New York since the 70s has gone through this renaissance where it's become super, it's become very safe. New York and Southside Chicago are two different things. And now you're seeing those two things become the same. And I think that your point, one of your points is that the captivity of being in your own apartment is making people crazy. Like, at least even if you have a house, you have more, like, you have a backyard, you could go out and tan, you could walk around your neighborhood. And in New York, you couldn't do that. You literally were subjugated to a jail cell. I mean, some of the apartments there are so tiny. And I don't blame these people for leaving.
I believe that you actually do need space, not just in, like, a house or apartment sense, in just, like, a region sense. Like, you need water. You need like real wildlife. You do need some of those things, at least a little bit more than just years and years of being in like a concrete jungle.
Yeah. And I think another area that I kind of mentioned, but Silicon Valley is going to be super interesting to see how that plays out, because that has been such a hub for tech and innovation, and almost it's become a monoculture. And you've seen people move out of LA. I mean, you had Elon, or not LA, Silicon Valley. Elon Musk moved down to LA. Now he's thinking about moving to Texas. Same with Peter Thiel, who started PayPal. He moved out of Silicon Valley because he thought it was getting too groupthink. It wasn't this Renaissance technology vibe of the 90s.
Yeah, it was just people trying to comply.
Yeah, it was just, mm-hmm. And now you're even seeing Facebook is getting canceled. I don't know if you've seen this, but Facebook is now, people are calling to cancel it. So I think that these people are moving out of the city, and then also the citizens of these people are moving out of the city because, again, crime's going up. Why would you pay expensive if Mark Zuckerberg's like, hey, you can work from home till the end of 2021? Why would you pay rent?
Why have we just now figured this out?
What?
Like, honestly, did it really take something horrible to happen, such as the pandemic, to finally wake people up and they're now finally understanding, why am I driving 2 hours to this job when I can do it at home? Why am I killing myself to work this job that I don't even like?
Paying for gas, environmental issues.
Being in an area with horrible crime or horrible pollution, smog, stuff that isn't healthy for you. And not only just your mental well-being, but your physical well-being. Why did it take this horrible thing to finally show that to people and shed light to it?
Well, what's crazy is that these people, if you're in New York, if you're in San Francisco, if you're in LA, if you're in these cities where your salary is adjusted for the cost of living there, so you make more money doing the same job in San Francisco as you would in Arizona, people are now realizing, oh, I'm contracted to that salary for at least a year, maybe 2 years, maybe three. Yeah. I'm going to move myself to Arizona, Texas, Florida, where it's cheaper, cost of living cheaper, but maintain my San Francisco salary, which is crazy. So now you're going to see all these weird, you're going to see the economies of places shift, and it's like not matching geographical location, which is so fascinating to me. Like, I'm very interested to see how that all shifts.
Actually, I don't know. Like, I'm excited. Yeah. I feel like that is one of the biggest ones that I'm going to track. Also, just to see where people move. Honestly, looking at the big moguls like Elon and Peter Thiel that are moving out, like, that's really big, and they're kind of like setting the tone, mm-hmm. especially for other people that follow them.
Yeah.
They have such massive followings, whether it be like their companies or social media or something. Yeah. Like, people respect what they do because then they know that, oh, they put thought into this and that was smart.
Tesla's stock, I mean, if you look at, I've been tracking Tesla's stock throughout the pandemic, and basically this is such a nerd thing to say, but basically like their stock,
this whole show is nerd.
Their stock dropped to like $300 and now it's at $1,500. And it's just like things like that. Like, these are the companies, the ones who are taking advantage of this. He's moving a factory to Texas because there's no state income tax there.
Have you thought about what Elon's gonna do with the underground tunnels in LA?
Maybe he'll just say F it. Like, I tried to help you people, you didn't want my help. Like, I'm moving to Texas. I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. He's such a wild card.
I hadn't thought about that until just now. I feel like he probably will, just because it seems like he believes in that idea. Honestly, that could solve a lot of LA's problems.
But if people are working from home, LA said that schools will not go back to they're the first county to say that schools will not go back in the fall. I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah.
I think one of the biggest things of this whole episode is what we said in the beginning, or what you brought up about every other recession has the strongest two institutions have been colleges and corporate life. And this is complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's home. Literally anything related to home is like the strongest realm to be in for whatever industry.
And homes are either getting closer or they're falling apart. I mean, there's probably divorce rates.
I've actually seen a lot of celebrity divorce
really?
Articles.
Who comes to mind?
Who was it? And then obviously, I'm sure people are still having problems. They're just it's not getting like media coverage because there's other issues. But there's definitely people. Yeah. It's either like you make it out,
or you're either better than ever. Like, you maybe your sex life is just going off as a couple, or it's like, we hate each other. Why do I live with you? Oh,
or you know what? Let me rephrase that. I need to stop saying things about make it out or when this is over. Or
yes, that's what the whole point of this is.
Yeah, I see. I'm not perfect. I'm trying to correct myself. This is what. I believe everyone should be at least trying to do, because I think that these subtle little things that you catch yourself saying, whether it be in conversation with your family or your friends over Zoom, it can actually help you subconsciously rewire your entire mentality and attitude towards the entire situation.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, celebrities and famous people, I don't know if any of you guys have been tracking this, but cancel culture is definitely something that has gotten a light shed on it as we've been in this pandemic. I don't know if people, Twitter,
it's been in every single person's vocabulary.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, cancel culture is something that Jordan and I have been tracking since even like 2 years ago, and we did an episode on this on social media, why it sucks, and we did like 30 minutes on this, so go check that out if you're interested more about cancel culture.
I do want to do another one too.
Yeah, there's so many updates, but basically just to brief it up, it's kind of, I think maybe there's so many Twitter trolls. Why do you think cancel culture is becoming such a thing that people are talking about?
I think that since the pandemic has put a lot of people in really hard emotional states and a lot of uncertainty, especially with the rise of like technology and all the social media we have. Honestly, if you even look back to the last recession, the iPhone had only been out for a year.
That's true.
And it came out in 07. That was before smartphones and social media even existed. So this is the first true kind of disaster per se that we're going through with this massive like connectivity with each other.
And distraction.
So it's been able to give a lot of people that distraction, which maybe they need, but it's also made a lot of people be confused, because you engage with all of these posts and a lot of these quotes and all of these images, and it all changes what you think, and it can alter what the ultimate decision you end up making on a certain viewpoint is.
And you're channeling your anger towards the pandemic, towards people. And I mean, what's crazy is that there was this letter. It's called A Letter on Justice and Open Debate. It's being abbreviated to be called the Harper's Letter. And it's basically all of these artists, celebrities, activists. Gloria Steinem signed it, who was basically led the second wave of feminist movement in the 70s, huge pro-choice advocate. And she even signed it. And it's basically a lot of people on the left saying, guys, we need to stop cancel culture. This is not healthy. This is not good. I mean, they're calling out their own political far left side and saying, guys, like this, you're canceling people for reasons that are just so.
I think a lot of that negativity and just want and need to call out people on stuff and feel the need to attack, I think a lot of it is rooted in just 21st century civilization. When you live in a first world country like America, goes back to the 1700s stuff that we were talking about. Life today doesn't have to do with survival. It's existence. And because of that, we feel like a lot of the problems that we're facing right now, especially during the pandemic, are the end of the world, when they're not. And so if someone has a mistake or if someone is doing this or that, we have so much more time and we feel like we're entitled to do that, but we're not. Why spread just constant negativity? Is that really going to benefit you?
Yeah.
It's short-term happiness. It's short-term fulfillment or expression of your emotions. But is that actually going to benefit the other person? And is it actually going to benefit you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would rather reroute my time towards developing a skill of my own or becoming a better person in my own mental state. Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's a mental state that I just can't really relate to, because I would never do that.
Yeah. And I mean, you get caught up in it, and it's hard to tell, because
it's entertaining for sure.
It's really entertaining. I think some people do believe or should be canceled. I mean,
I hate the word canceled. Can we change it? For some reason, I don't know. Well, or maybe it's giving me like PTSD or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Like, Jeffrey Epstein, I know he's dead. He should be canceled. Like, those are the people that
Kevin Spacey, 100%.
Canceled.
Just like, bye.
Bye. Like, that.
Actually, I should never even say his name again. I'm giving it power.
I think that if the majority of people agree that someone should be canceled, it's kind of like, okay, we're all on the same page. That person's a horrible person. They did mess up things. But if there's a lot of debate and controversy, and then you're asking yourself, okay, why is a second wave feminist getting canceled? That's weird to me. Like, that doesn't make sense.
I just think, you know how we were always taught that we all have this inherent sense of morality. We all have this code that we know what's right and wrong. We know what's good and what's bad. I feel like that kind of overarches cancel culture, and we've created this massively long list mm-hmm. where it's like every little thing, unless it's what you want to hear or see, it's wrong.
Yeah.
There's no in between. There's no threshold of maybe how do we help this person have a different view?
Or be better.
How do we make them a better person? It's just like, no, you're done. You're a bad person. You're over.
I don't want to have a discussion with you. I don't want to engage you. That's I don't want to make you.
That's the lazy route. That's hurting our world.
Or people are just like, oh, unfollow me if you don't agree. And I'm like, okay, well, actually, you should have those people follow you, because then when they see your stuff, it causes them to think and question their own views, and maybe they can make progress towards your opinion. But these people that just want to live in these bubbles where they just keep hearing the same stuff that they're putting out into the world, they're getting that same information back. I don't want to live in a world like that. And I don't want to live in a world where I could get canceled on something that I know wasn't wrong, that it's just because people are bored. And
it's destroying the freedom of speech, for sure.
It is. And I
think the separation of church and state.
That too. I mean, people, that's scary. I mean, that needs to stay separated, and that's getting questioned right now. I mean, there's becoming like a secular religion, which we talked about on the last episode, which scares me. just because there isn't a God or a higher power doesn't mean that something can't be a religion.
I agree. I would never get in the way of that. I think I just wish, probably most of all, is that I wish people would be more open-minded to hearing what someone else has to say. Like, I wish it became a stronger approach to talking about politics or just talking about social issues, whatever it is, that both sides are okay. I have my views and I may be really confident in those views, but I'm also going to be accepting of what you have to say mm-hmm. because that's right.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that's been completely blurred. It's like, oh, unless you have this view, like, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even bring it up. Unfollow me. Don't listen to me.
Well, what's interesting. So
that shouldn't be encouraged, I don't think.
I was listening to I think it was Joe Rogan. He was interviewing this black comedian, I think. And what he would do is, like, he literally would reach out to KKK members. Like, listen to how scary this is. This black comedian would reach out to KKK members, ask that, like, befriend them, ask them to, like, go get coffee. And he literally in his entire life got over, I think it was 200 members to, like, resign from the KKK and hand him the cloaks. Like, how incredible is that story? And right now we're spinning this narrative of, like, you can't even, like, people don't even want to talk to other people who, like, I'm not saying go talk to someone in the KKK. That's probably dangerous, and those people probably don't necessarily need to be engaged. But, I mean, you should engage your older grandma who maybe watches, like, a lot of Fox News. Like, you know, like just not engaging these people, you're not going to shift them on anything. And you have to accept, like, I don't know. It just
bugs me. Also, it's important to, honestly, I hadn't really fully appreciated history until I got older. Like, and when I was in grade school, I mean, we all learned history and whatever, but I never really understood, like, how big of a role it plays in all of our lives. Like, not only, like, our ancestry, but just how things have changed, and being able to predict the future for us now, you have to look at the past. Mm-hmm. And so I think what a lot of people have lost is when you look back at these older generations, I don't know. We're all products of our environments, just as we're products of, like, our parents and how we were raised. So
our grandkids are going to look back at us, and I bet there's something.
The life that we have now and some of the societal constructs that we're creating as we speak are probably going to be 100% different than our grandkids.
Oh, they're going to be like,
and that doesn't make us wrong or bad. It's just kind of what we're surrounded by.
Guys, if you own an iPhone, your grandkid is going to be upset with you, because these phones, they aren't like, you can't get them to be $500 without having them be made in China with cheap labor. Like, any sort of high-tech product or
that's
anything
made in the US.
Anything that's not made in the US or not made in, like, Europe or something, fast fashion is really bad for the environment. Driving a non-electric car, I mean, our grandkids might get mad at us because we didn't drive a Tesla. They're gonna be like,
you destroyed our world or something like that.
Yeah, why did you buy, why did you have 5 Gucci belts, grandma? Like, that's ridiculous. Like,
and then they're gonna get canceled and then 72 years old.
We're gonna get canceled because we had 5 Gucci belts. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I'm just saying, cut some people some slack. push them in the right, I'm not saying like let them be a horrible person, but push them in the right direction and educate them. And because I want to be get cut that slack when I'm older, and I want my grandkid to help me be a better person and not just want to cancel me.
Yeah. And yeah. I want the next generations to also analyze history just as we are, or I've yeah. been, and because it 100% relates to like their legacy and why they're here.
If we
are, what's got us to here?
If we aren't getting better every generation, then we're not doing our job as humans to make the human race better. And I think going back to like COVID and something that I want to set myself up, I want to set myself up in this world not to be canceled. I want to take advantage of the opportunities COVID has given me in terms of being able to maybe like have my own business, have my own work more remotely, because you might be next, and like you want to set up your income so that someone can't take that away from you. And something that we also talked about was diversified income and diversified interests. And I think that you had a lot of good points about that. And
oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, we've had topics relating to like generalism and building different skill sets in different areas. We have a lot of topics that we yeah. will get to eventually. But it 100% applies to taking advantage and making lemonade out of lemons with the pandemic situation that we're facing right now, especially working from home. That allows so much versatility. I'm so excited. I'm truly so excited.
Yeah.
Because I believe that we are multifaceted beings, whether you were told that you had to go one route or that you're really great at this one thing, that you have one talent. You know, some people are like that, but I think a lot of people are a lot more multifaceted and a lot more drawn to multiple things, and they just don't know about it because they were taught a different way. Yeah. And going back to kind of learning about how to not get canceled, if you actually look at college sociology or even psychology in a way, it could literally be renamed to how to not get canceled, yeah. like as an adult.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Because in talking about grandkids, looking back at us being inferior to them or not as evolved, they may cancel us. Who yeah, knows? It could yeah. apply to anybody at yeah, any age. Yeah,
exactly. And I think something that you kind of brought up that will be interesting is corporate America is set up very hierarchy based in terms of like, oh, you report to this person and that person's above you and whatnot. And that kind of limits your scope of the role and limits your job. And as we go remote, I really think businesses are going to become more horizontal as opposed to vertical in their employer hierarchy.
Yeah, because you're not walking in the building, and seeing the bigger office.
Yes.
Like the CEO has the biggest office, and then the no. president has a little bit smaller but still big, and then there's the cubicles, and then there's the coffee area. Like,
there's not going to be all these like, no more weird, of that. Weird dynamics and weird like who has power and who doesn't based off of like weird small things like
or who dresses the best yeah. or oh he has a nicer suit or
drives a nicer car.
Thank gosh I don't have to wear that stuff anymore because it's not even comfortable. Why are we doing it? It doesn't help our productivity.
No. And it's funny because like people like what they spend money on, like people aren't going to like having the nicest car ever isn't going to be the biggest deal if you don't have a job that you have to have it in for the office, clothes, like what you said. I think having, you know, the structure be more horizontal allows for employees to have a job description where they might be having three different roles that all vary. But you know what? If someone can do graphic design but also help do finance at a small business, why not give them both of those roles? Like, why not use all of the skill sets that they can bring to the table? Why do we limit job roles into one tiny scope? And then you just have to grow from that scope as opposed to why can't you grow two scopes at
one time?
Honestly,
what psychology study or personality studies have actually proved that we are meant to have one thing to do?
Yeah,
none. Or that we're meant to be an expert at one thing. Like, there is literally none. And I think maybe that research isn't published because we like having a specialized world, or some people do because it's easier. It's easier to understand, easier to comprehend. But if you really dedicate time to keeping up with the changes that are happening right now, and yeah, just being well-read, being flexible. Like, honestly, we are flexible human beings. Just as settlers were able to cross the seas, or when a new product comes out, they're able to adapt to that. Or, oh, a hurricane happens, we push through that. We figure out how to rebuild. We, for all of our history, we've adapted. Just as this pandemic, like, we are adapting as we speak. Like, it's really cool being able to watch it firsthand happen and see how people respond to it and what they're able to make out of it. But I believe that this will just become another one of those monumental milestones in our history that we look back at and go, oh my gosh, that was pre-pandemic, yeah, that was post-pandemic. But great businesses, great innovation is going to be able to come out of it. And overall, like, I just want people to look at it in a different light.
Yeah, don't you want to be a part of it? Once the switch, I mean, honestly, I think it is going to be a switch for most people where they shift mindsets. And once the switch, because I was down, I'm a very happy-go-lucky person. I'm not someone who haven't really had a super huge struggle with mental health. I know that a lot of people go through that. That just never was something that I had personally dealt with. And when this pandemic hit and I felt like I had no control over my life, I was so sad. Like, I woke up every day and I just felt numb. Like, it wasn't even like I was sad. It was like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, this isn't my life. This isn't the life I want. Like, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. It was so negative.
Yeah.
And once I got the switch, I was like, wow, like, let's get excited about this new world. Let's take ownership. And
that's exactly what happened to me.
Something that's cool too is that, like, social dynamics are shifting. I mean, I don't know if it's for the good or the better, but, like, dating's different, hookup culture's different, friendships. Jordan and I were just on a Zoom call today, and this friend that I have who's going to help with our website, I've been friends with him for almost like 6 or 9 months now, and I still haven't met him in person, but, like, I know him.
I met him today for the first time over Zoom, and it felt
normal,
completely normal. Or maybe I've just become so used to it and accustomed to it through work and school and stuff. But I'm the internship I'm doing this summer, the entire company, every single person I've been working with on a day-to-day basis, like, a good amount of people, I've never seen them in person ever.
So wild.
And honestly, it kind of just shows, like, that's actually so cool.
Yeah.
That our brains are that advanced that we can look at a tiny 2x1 inch square on our computer and read enough visual facial recognition information from that person through a tiny little screen of pixels and make a relationship from it.
That's really cool.
Like, that just is a testament to how intelligent, like, humankind is.
Oh, I've gotten so closer with some people over quarantine. Like,
yeah, same.
Like, my boyfriend and I, we've been doing long distance. And I mean, like, you still can become closer with someone. You can still, like, have great conversations. I do think the dating and post COVID thing is going to be interesting. There's almost a
relationship. Yeah, let's get into that a little bit.
There's almost like a relationship privilege that's happening. I feel like we've talked about a lot of different privileges, but in the world right now, but there is this kind of like privilege where if someone had a relationship pre-COVID and it worked out and these people got to, like, move in together.
Yeah, those,
you know,
people posting Instagrams of, oh, like, I'm with my boyfriend. We decided to do a road trip because we didn't have anything to do. They're lucky. Like, you obviously were dating someone before the pandemic. A lot of people weren't. So it's like, there was no dating after the pandemic started.
No.
At least not up until now. So basically, you're kind of either set up or you just couldn't socialize whatsoever.
People lost like 6 months of their dating life, of their like sex life, all these things. And I think it's kind of pushing the Tinder, the Bumble, the whatever dating life. And that also is the same thing. It's like you meet someone online first before you meet them in person.
So what is your perception on the success of these dating apps going forward? Because honestly, I haven't really done a lot of research into how they've been doing recently.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that before the pandemic, dating apps were super popular because it's easier to utilize dating apps as opposed to social media sometimes because there's just so much saturation on social media of other types of content. But I don't, honestly, to be honest, I think that it will come back, but I don't know how soon. I don't think it's going to be this year just because if you book a date or are talking to someone you want to meet up in person, we've gotten so accustomed to online. Plus, do they have COVID? You don't know.
That's
that.
A whole nother thing.
What, like, if there's a function on the app that you don't, like, you, okay, I tested positive 2 weeks ago.
What do you do? Or, okay.
Do you risk it? Do you just say, I'll send it? Like, who cares? They're probably not contagious. Or
yeah, I don't know. Like, okay, let's say I'm the dude, you're the girl. We're on Tinder. And I'm like, hey, Jordan.
All right, are we role playing?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, Jordan, like, you're cute. Like, let's do. I mean, I don't know. Do you swipe right? Is that how it works? I think so. Yeah. We swipe right on each other. We get into a little convo. And I'm like, you know, I know our date's tomorrow, but I've had the sniffles, but I normally have allergies. Yeah. But like, it could be COVID. Like, do you still want to go? Like, I don't want to like infect the restaurant.
I have like a 99 fever, but like, it's low grade. I don't know.
Or, yeah, like, do you take the risk? Are you like, F it? Like,
personally, if I were on the other end of that statement, I would not, just because I don't really want to deal with getting sick. But I also am, as we speak, getting used to the fact that like, people just get sick. That's just what happens. Like, yeah. If you take care of yourself and build up your immune system, eat right, drink a lot of water, get enough sleep, have a well-balanced routine that you really put your health first, it's going to be okay.
I think what's funny is that I think these dating apps, like, yeah, they're viewed as being efficient, but they're actually, I've seen other, like, there was this one episode of, have you ever seen Master of None?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was this one episode, I think it's in the second season, where I'm blanking on the name of the main character.
I love the name of the show. Master of None. That's so dope.
Dev. Dev? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Dev? Okay. Dev, the main character, downloads a dating app, and he goes on probably, like, 30 dates on this episode, and he takes them all out on the same dinner date, and none of them work out. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of inefficient, because let's say you're at a bar and you meet 30 girls, you could easily like pick one or two that you want to like ask their number. But if you're going on a dating app, like, you have to at least get coffee with the person and spend at least an hour with them before you rule them out, you know? So no, I don't know. Is it efficient or not? Well, maybe it's more efficient because you'd have to do blind dates if it wasn't that. At least you get to like see the photo of the person beforehand.
You know that Black Mirror episode? What's it called?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about. So basically, that's one of my favorite episodes by far. But when I first saw that, I was like, oh, this is bizarre. Actually, that is kind of smart, because instead of meeting with a bunch of different people, you kind of just commit to one for like a large portion of time. That's honestly better for like a pandemic. Like, if you are exposed to one person once, you might as well be exposed to them for like a couple weeks or a month or something.
And then you
on
can,
multiple dates,
you can make generalizations. I kind of realized, like, if I, you know, like, you can make generalizations about people and be like, okay, like, yeah, I didn't like, let's say I didn't like Cole, but you know what? There's a ton of people that have Cole similar characteristics, so I'm going to avoid all the Coles out there. So I think that dating, like, it does, like, when you spend at least an hour with someone, you can, like, figure out the qualities you're like, absolutely not, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
I am not on dating apps, so I would probably have to experiment to see what's going to go on going forward. In certain locations, if you're able to go outside right now or do something outdoors that doesn't mean going to a restaurant wearing a mask with a screen over you, just for right now, ultimately things will hopefully progress so that we can do some of those things again.
Is taking off your mask when you're hooking up, is that going to be like the new, like, taking off someone's bra, like a guy struggling
strap by
to
strap.
Like, strap by strap struggling,
it's
going to
be
like
seductive, like they're like brushing your cheek with their fingertips bringing it over your ear,
and then they slowly go in for
drops to the floor. You hear it plop on the carpet.
Are you sure you want me to kiss you? Like, it's gonna be really dramatic. Yeah, just go for it.
Dude, this is a parallel. Oh my god.
No, I mean, I don't
but
know.
It's gonna be for both sides. It's not just gonna be the girl. It's a bi.
It's a mutual
gender thing.
Yeah. Yeah, bras for guys on your face. My mom,
bras for guys on your face.
Like, sometimes it looks like a diaper chin. Like, you know when people
it
pull
looks like
it down.
A diaper or a pull up
or like a pad, like a pad on your face.
The really thick ones that have like all this puff. Like, what is it? Is it cotton? Like,
I don't know.
It's like fucking styrofoam inside of your face. No wonder people are breaking out. All the sweat,
dude,
and dirt.
I am breaking out so badly because the mask. I mean, I am trying to get the one that you have is super breathable.
The thin ones.
Yeah,
the ones I have are as thin as possible.
You have to figure out like the right ones, because like these masks aren't going away anytime soon, so you definitely have to like figure out what works for you. But
I saw something really interesting. I don't know if we want to get into this, but so basically I was doing some research on smoking and how it's kind of fluctuated the entire industry because of COVID.
Oh, interesting.
Obviously, lung health is important for fighting off a virus, but smokers don't really care about that, or at least like veteran smokers don't. But also, there are masks that are coming out that are non-flammable, because 99% of masks right now are flammable. So basically, if you're trying to smoke and you have to wear a mask somewhere and it's required by wherever you're at, how do you do that? You could literally set your face on fire, set the mask on fire. Okay. If you throw it away and it's on fire, the trash can sets on fire, the building sets on fire. You're screwed. You're going to get arrested for arsony.
This is scaring me. Okay, I had a question the other week. I never got an answer because I couldn't find the answer. But, okay, when you go on an Uber, you have to wear masks, right?
Yes.
If they're flammable and you get in a car accident... Would
Dude,
your
the
face
airbag
get-
blowing up and releasing all these chemicals are literally going to light your face on fire.
Dude, see, there's so many things that, like, we have to, like, people are like, I totally am, like, for trusting the science, making scientific decisions, but we do need to think through every single possibility because I didn't even know that masks were flammable.
Dude, 99% of masks are flammable. Cloth, the paper ones that you see, even hospital grade masks that surgeons wear, they're all flammable because they're made out of, yeah, either cotton or paper.
So, how
basically,
do you get-
we either need to create a new element that is breathable enough so that we can get oxygen,
yeah,
or we need to have some sort of small slit or something like that. I'm not sure, but... Yeah, to prevent these fires or actual skin damage.
See,
or
business idea, guys. Someone go invent.
I just literally gave that out like candy. Please credit me.
Yeah, you give.
I did the dirty work.
Okay, something also I think is kind of like one of our last things we want to talk about, but family life is becoming super important. Your home life, having that being integrated into your work life, I think that's super cool. No one's really talking about that. Jordan and I, especially as females, have been young females who want a successful career and want to make our mark in the world, but we also are really open to getting married down the road and maybe having a few kids. And kind of always, you know, our elders have put this like thing in our heads, like, oh, you can either have one or the other. Like, you either have your kids, you have your family.
Because that was their world,
yeah,
when they were living
and,
in it.
And even if you can do both, is it really that great? Because you have to work 9 to 5. You're restricted. That doesn't match when your kids are going to school. Usually kids go to school, like, they end at 3. So that doesn't make sense. So then they have to, like, stay on for, like, 3 extra hours. You're in traffic picking them up. You're in a bad mood. You're not, like, happy. Like, a lot of parents only spend, I think it's, like, a few hours a week with their kid. I mean, it's, like, a really small statistic. And, I'm not saying that that makes anyone a bad parent. I mean, that's just the reality that we live in. But this is such a great opportunity that parents can, you know, be with their kids more.
You know what? This actually goes back to the more Renaissance and older century lifestyles where, say, there was a blacksmith who had a shop next to their kitchen and bed.
Yeah.
If they had children, they're right there learning. It's like they're little apprentices. Mm-hmm. So if we're working from home and our kids are around that, they're probably going to be able to learn more about the world and about, like, the workplace.
And you're going to like them better.
Well, I just think that kids will be able to actually learn more about the real world and how to succeed in a work sense, so, since their parents are doing it right in front of them.
I totally agree.
It's not like, oh, you go to school and you go to work. When you come home, you don't even talk about it.
Well, yeah.
Because parents aren't coming home and showing their kids what they're doing. Mm.
No, I totally agree. And I've had similar thoughts. And I mean, both you and I kind of grew up in this weird environment where both of our dads, like, have small businesses. So we grew up on Saturdays going in with our dads, hanging out around the office.
I'm so glad that I was able to, I got shown that.
Getting exposure. My dad has a few restaurants, and one of his first restaurants was this tiny 9-stool diner. We go in there on Saturdays, and, like, I would help do the dishes. Like, I was literally, like, 7 years old, like, help, like, cook stuff. I don't know, like, take orders. Like, it was so fun. And
yeah,
I want my kids to have that. And that's on a very, like, normal 9-to-5 corporate, like, if you buy into the lifestyle that we all have been thrown at us, like, that is not what it is. And I'm actually so excited that this opportunity is presenting itself where I can merge my home life and my kids' life, and I can be the teacher of my kids.
Exactly. It's not just teaching them in an academic sense. It's teaching them in a worldly sense, which yeah. is something that a lot of the education system doesn't really emphasize. And what I am so blessed to have had when I grew up, when I would go to my dad's office or go on his construction sites and mess around, is that a lot of the things that he did were so different, which some of those passions and interests that I was able to develop at such a young age, I still have to this day.
Yeah.
And so maybe if kids were more exposed to like their actual parents' work, it can help foster those interests from that early age so that they can become even more proficient when they get older.
Well,
and end up being able to decide, oh, this is the route I want to take, or that's the route I want to take.
I'm having like new epiphanies right now, but I feel like that's a problem with our generation, is that we were raised to just be kids for so long, and our life was kept so separate from our parents.
And like school wasn't life.
We weren't allowed to be in the adult world, right?
Kids are kids. Adults are adults. Yeah, kids go to school. Adults go to work.
Stay out of it. There's nothing for you to learn here yet. Wait till you're 22.
Yeah. Then you're in college, party. Get your partying out of the way because that's where you're supposed to. You don't want to have to work
yet. Yeah. Then join us.
Why don't we just have everything be a balance?
Yeah. That's our world is... You might die at 25 and never have experienced life. And I mean... There's so much to learn, and there's so much to teach your kids. And I mean, then they can understand, they have a broader sense of the world. And there's no reason why a 5-year-old can't be exposed to bigger ideas. And it actually empowers them to feel like they have knowledge about something. I remember like when I was 5 years old, my parents explained to me very like broadly and watered down, because, you know, 5-year-olds can't. They can't understand things very complexly, but my parents explained to me what calories were, kind of, and what good food versus bad food and preservatives. Uh-huh. And like, have those conversations with your kids. And if we all live together almost like in communities, like that's going to be great. Like, why aren't we getting excited about that?
Yeah, no more. There's going to be no more after school, or no more, oh, My mom doesn't get off until 5, so I have to stay after school gets out in like the daycare area for another hour or so until she gets off.
Twiddling my thumbs.
Yeah. What do you do? It's just you're losing time with your kid when you could both be at home, both doing what you need to
productive,
be doing, both being productive, but also having that relationship with each other and being able to learn from each other, which is super important. I feel like a big conversation that has been going on with how to get younger kids back into schools right now. They could do virtual, but I think a big, I guess, topic and issue posing in the way is that kids learn really well by being in like a real environment, seeing and reading real emotions and like watching a teacher explain things, reading their lips, all of that. But I think this is so techie. I hope it happens with AI and all the tech that's happening. I think that there will be programs that come out, especially after this pandemic, that enhance the online virtual experience so that maybe it will be like realistic. Well, maybe we will be able to evolve enough so that young kids' brains can learn just as well, if not better, even though it could be digital at home.
I think it will be projection based, right? Like I've saw this. I keep getting these
holographic.
Yeah, like holographic. Holograms? Yeah, like
virtual reality classrooms. Yeah. Where we have headsets.
Yeah, and I've been seeing these ads for this projection that goes on a mirror, like a large mirror, and it's a workout person.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. It's called the mirror. I think
the mirror. Yeah. So imagine that for like everything. Like classrooms, like so many different things. Teachers, like that is a totally different thing than watching it on Zoom, and maybe a kid can pay attention more. But I do think that kids are social beings, and they do need to like be making human connections with.
They need friends.
They need friends,
and they want to go out and play sports and play Red Rover
the positive thing about this pandemic, which people I feel like we've been losing in translation, is that luckily this isn't a super high the mortality rate for people under 20 is pretty much zero. Like there's no kids that are dying from this. Now I don't know what the long-term effects of the virus could be. Maybe people infected with it will have issues with their lungs later on, but as of right now, kids aren't at risk. Now if we saw, you know, even a 1% mortality rate.
Stat that
if we saw some sort of stat with kids, I'm sorry, I'm not sending my kids to school. No way. But the fact that no kids are dying, I definitely think.
There's nothing that's come out yet, but it's also too early to say anything because once the pandemic started, everyone got out. So we have to probably wait until we try it again.
Every pediatrician has said that their advice is that the schools reopen. I mean, Europe's already reopened in terms of the school. So it'll be interesting to see what the trend ends up being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely think there's pros and cons to both, and it'll be interesting. But I am excited about this concept of merging my home and work life. And especially as a woman, I see this as so much opportunity because I think it honestly kind of takes down the patriarchy. Because if your husband has to stay home at work, they need to learn how to do the dishes. They need to learn how to cook. We've been talking about
this. I'm going to cry.
This is the final thing.
So we have been wanting to do a completely separate episode on kind of career aspirations and career life for women.
Yeah.
We were actually planning on doing that before the pandemic even started.
We've had so many topics.
But basically, I am extremely excited about what's happening here because my whole life, and yeah, Ella, we talked about this a ton. I just always felt like I had to choose or had this like impossible decision to make. And thankfully, I grew up in a household where my family's always supported, like, you can do whatever you want. Not a lot of people have that luxury. And this is now allowing that shift to really be made, whether people want it to or not. Mm-hmm. It's people are going to be at home. Both parties, if it's a heterosexual marriage, a man and a woman of the stereotypes you in the past we saw women stay at home and help raise kids and do homely mm-hmm. things, and then men go off to work, whatever. If it's all at home, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. You divide up chores. You divide up, okay, you walk the dogs, whatever you got to do. You take the shift with the kids. You clean up. You change the diapers. It doesn't matter. And honestly, that is going to benefit the next generation of kids so much, I think.
And that's what's cool.
Dude, we could actually do a whole episode just on kids.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if you're being born after all of these great innovations and changes and efficiencies are being made right now, you're going to be on the right track, I think.
I totally
probably
agree.
So much smarter and more evolved and well, in at least in a mental and emotional state than we are. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, just kind of to wrap all this up, I think we covered all this.
It's been a little long, but it was a lot here.
There was a lot to dissect, but I don't know. I think we covered everything. I think we went through everything we needed to. And guys, get excited. Like, this is exciting. Like, take control. Don't let this control you anymore.
Yeah, we went around and around trying to think about how do we talk about this stuff and not make it sound like we're teaching, not make it sound like we're like forcing anyone. A lot of this stuff, I honestly came to it on my own. You like just how we both had that time where, okay, we were a little uncertain. We felt kind of confused. All of our plans got blown up. We didn't have a sense of what's next or anything like that. But then you have that wave of clarity and you see the future and you want to take charge of it. And a quote that I have always said, and I'll take pride in that, and I have been saying a lot more, especially since the pandemic, is like making lemonade out of lemons. Because I don't know, when you have things at your fingertips and you're able to take charge of how you're spending your time, prioritize what is not only important to you, but could also benefit your life and other people, and just not spread the negativity about it, because it not only gives power to the entire thing that's been going on this year, but it also puts the negativity in the past. So
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode and tune in next week.
Also the audio.
Yeah, and the audio. I hope you guys appreciate this. I think you will.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much.